Hi everyone, welcome back to the HRVC Encounter podcast. This is the podcast where we ask our guests a fun question. So this week, Dan, do you have any funny baby stories for us?
Funny baby stories? This is the bit where Josh edits it out.
Yeah, it is.
Oh yeah, I have a great one. Well, I will give a bit of a... So if you're eating food... I would put that down now, because this isn't for the faint-hearted. But Ruben once had an almighty poo. Like, it was just an explosive poo. And Becky was, like, running him upstairs, trying to get it all dealt with. And while she was trying to do that, it got on his feet. And then it also got on his hands. And then Becky was getting really, like, she was, like, shouting for me to help her. And then I came upstairs and was trying to help her. And then Becky was crying. And then so I grabbed Ruben and I, like, ran down with him, trying not to get poo everywhere. And, like, shoved him in the bathtub. And I was just spraying the poor boy with the shower head, trying to clean him and trying to make sure the water was, like, at the right temperature. And he was just crying so much. He's just crying, and Becky's crying, and Ruben's crying, so everyone's crying, and I'm just like, it's okay, guys, it'll be okay. So, yeah, that's pretty, I don't know if that's funny, but there's a little insight into what it means to be a parent for you there.
Sounds like a dramatic day at the Rigg household that day.
It's definitely dramatic. You weren't expecting that, were you?
No, not at all. That's great, thank you. Roll the intro music. We are joined by a new host this week, as Josh and I prepare to go back to uni, and for Josh going to uni, we'll be handing over the hosting of the podcast to a new team in September. Anthony's here today, and he'll be taking more of a regular hosting role in the future. But for now, Anthony, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Anthony. I'm 16 years old, and I am going to be going to sixth form in September.
Awesome. I'm Sophie. I'm 20 years old and I'm currently at the University of Winchester. Dan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Dan. I'm 23 and I've just qualified to be a maths teacher.
Lovely.
So, Dan, what are you up to at the moment? Are you doing anything exciting in lockdown?
You know what? It can't be described as exciting, I don't think. But I am having a lovely time looking after my son. To be fair, he has started crawling, which is fairly exciting.
Yeah.
But my wife, Becky Rigg, who you've had on the podcast before, she has started work as students and young adult leader. I think I got that right. For Holland Register, she started back at work 3 days or three mornings a week. So I'm looking after Ruben quite a lot, which is a massive, massive privilege as a dad, and to spend so much time with him. So, yeah, really enjoying that.
Lovely. That's really wholesome as an answer. So, Dan, you lead worship at Holland Road quite a bit. So can you remember any times during leading worship where it didn't quite go to plan? Something went wrong and it was fine because God was still there. But yeah, do you have any examples of that?
Oh, yes. And I didn't realise that it's kind of linked with the first story. You'll find out in a minute why. It was actually a really nice moment at Encounter in the evening. It was around 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. Lovely moment at Encounter. Everyone's really encountering the Spirit. Everyone's enjoying God. And in this really solemn, beautiful moment, I encouraged people to, you know, you can stand, you can kneel, you can lie prostrate on the floor in reverence for God. But apparently, according to Becky and other sources, instead of saying prostrate, I said prostate. So I encourage people to lie prostate on the ground, which wasn't, it kind of slightly ruined the solemn mood to mention prostates in that moment. You know, there's worse things that can happen.
Yeah, I probably would have got the giggles at that point, not going to lie.
I would have thought the Spirit was falling, you know. Wow, so laughing.
Yeah, would have been great.
So what would you say is worship?
What is worship?
Yeah.
That's a good question. So, I mean, helpfully, and this isn't, you know, this isn't a get out of free jail card, I'm going to the Bible, because the Bible, like, really like in a really simple way, just says this is worship, which is very helpful. But in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So, I mean, off of that verse, like worship is, you know, using or presenting our bodies in a way that's sacrificial to God. And that's worship to him. And in the way we often use the language in church is like a specific kind of worship where we use our bodies in terms of music and song as sacrificially as worship to God. And one of the beautiful things about that kind of worship is that it's very, kind of want to use the word like pure, in that like there are many ways we can worship God, but there are very few ways in which it's just us and God. And when we sing to God and when we play our instruments to God and worship him in that way, all we can do and all we're doing is just enjoying him and singing about him, which is a really beautiful way of presenting our bodies in song to him and enjoying him like that.
Yeah, so Dan, you lead worship at church. What would you say is one of the things you enjoy about leading worship?
I love leading worship. It's such a privilege to lead worship. And I think one of the things that's, I think the best thing about leading worship is being able to help other people, and not just help, like see other people and watch other people enjoy Jesus and sing to him and praise him. It's so, obviously it's so beautiful when you worship God yourself, but to see other people's spirits lifted up and other people encouraged and motivated and inspired to sing to God in a really passionate, loving way. It really moves the heart, and that God like lets you be a part of that in leading worship. I think one of the ways I often explain why that is so great, in the Psalms, many of them were written by one of the greatest worshippers in David, King David. And in Psalm 42, which is a psalm where he's like, he's not having a good time. I think he's depressed. He's like, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Like, where is my God? So he's like really depressed. And he says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, in verse 4, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. And there is just something about leading people in the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise that it lifts the heart, and it's just so encouraging and so beautiful to see people praising God.
Yeah, I love that, the way you describe it as being a privilege to be able to do that and to use that gift that God has given you to for his kingdom, because you have written some worship songs yourself. So I wonder if you wanted to chat about what they're about, what your inspo was.
Of course, inspo, that's a great word. I love it. That's one of those words where, like, when you're pushing your mid-20s, like, you start to miss out on some vocab, people younger than you. But yeah, I mean, I was chatting to my wife Becky about this the other week, actually, in that, like, there's a surprising theme that carries through, I think, all the songs I've written. And I think there are three worship songs I've written where I've gone, I like that song. And I'm quite tough with my songs. Like, if I wouldn't put it in my own worship playlist if it was written by someone else, I wouldn't call it like a good song, you know. But the theme that kind of runs through them all is like salvation. So being saved by God. I mean, the one we sing in church is literally called You Have Saved Us. It's not a massive surprise. I mean, the other songs I've written are about how Jesus is our only mediator, the only way to God, and that he saves us and he brings us to his Father, righteous and holy. And another song I've written is about how without God and without his Spirit and without the work of his Son, like, we're lost, you know, we're guilty, we can't see the light, we're hopeless. But with him and when he saves us, we have all hope. So it's kind of a theme that goes through a lot of the songs I've written. And I think a lot of that is because that's kind of how my heart works, in that the reason I sing and the reason I'm inspired to worship is because God saved me. And it's, you know, it's when I meditate on what Jesus has done for me on the cross, you know, saving a sinner like me and making me heirs with God and heirs with Christ, you know, that's and that makes me want to sing. Mm. Almost like, you know, like in ancient wars, people would sing after a battle that they won, or would sing after a child was born, or sing after they'd been rescued. And so I think just within me is a bit of a battle cry to sing to God because he saved me.
So how would you say you go about writing your worship songs, the tune and the lyrics? How do you do that?
I think everyone does this differently, which is a good thing. I don't think there's like a hard and fast rule to songwriting. Like John Lennon wrote differently to Paul McCartney, who wrote differently to, you know, Joel Houston or Chris Tomlin. I think everyone's different. But I think for me, I often start with either a passage of scripture or like a general theme that kind of carries through a lot of scripture. I haven't done that on purpose. Like I've tried to start with lyrics. I've tried to start with chords and music, but so far when I've really been pleased with the song I've written, it's often been started with a passage or started with a theme.
Mm.
When I think about why that is, I'm just reminded there's a point in the Gospels where Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I suppose like you could change that to, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth sings.
Mm.
I think it's only when I'm excited about something that I write a song about it.
Mm.
And so, I don't know, I'll be really fixated on a part of scripture that I'm really excited about. God, you know, God is steadfast and his love never fails, or Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and men. You know, something that really gets my heart pumping. And then out of that, I just very naturally will just start kind of humming and singing. And sometimes I catch it and go, ooh, maybe that was quite nice. Maybe I could write a song about that. So I think that's the way I do it. But there are a million ways you can do it.
That's great. So off the back of that, I guess, if there was someone that out there who was thinking about writing some songs, would you have any tips for them on how to do that?
Definitely. I think a lot of the pitfalls that new songwriters fall into, I mean, often new songwriters end up thinking, hang on, I think I've just written a song that already exists. Like, I've just copied that. And a lot of that comes from often people try and not copy, but often replicate what someone else is doing. You can often spot it sometimes, and you can spot an accent coming through someone singing that isn't theirs. You might hear someone singing in an American accent, and where does that come from?
Yeah.
They're, you know, inspired by someone and they're trying to sing like them. But I think a big tip is that there's only one person out of the, you know, 50 billion people that ever lived on this planet that sounds like you, and it's you. And you're never going to add anything to the world by trying to sing like Bob Dylan, or you're never going to add anything to the world by trying to sing like Axl Rose. God's made you in a very certain way, to sound a very certain way, and to sing about things in a very certain way. So I think one of my tips would be, try and figure out what it is, like, what is your style? Like, what do you bring to the table? What do you sound like? What are some of the things that, if someone was to describe you as a songwriter or as an artist, what would they say? And that's quite difficult. And I think often you need to start, you start out with inspirations, and you start out with people you want to sound like, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you do have to get to the place where you have your own sound and your own voice.
Thank you. So you mentioned a bit earlier, I think it was the passage Psalm 42, verse 4. Something that stuck out to me there was the idea of the throng of worshippers. And I just thought we could chat about how, I think in lockdown, a lot of people have struggled with the lack of congregational singing and the lack of like worshipping together. So I thought we could just have a chat about that and how lockdown's affected our worshipping, if you had any thoughts on that.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's such a nice image, isn't it? The throng. That's really amazing, holy conga line, isn't it? But yeah, I think what lockdown has done is it's highlighted some, I think it's brought out some negative things and it's brought out some positive things. So I think during lockdown and singing through Zoom or singing at a TV screen does bring certain challenges to worship and to singing. And these are things that the enemy will try and use, I think, to stop us from singing, to stop us from worshiping. But distraction, so much easier to be distracted in like a living room TV or laptop is on setting than it is to be in a church with that really like positive communal peer pressure of like, no, we're focusing on this, if you know what I mean. I don't know. Have you guys found that it's been like harder to focus, or you've been distracted during this time?
I think I can agree with what you're saying. Because we're all in lockdown at home, it's harder. I mean, of course, we have the live streams on Sunday, but I think it's nicer being with a, you know, congregation of people. I think we're really distracted by phones and devices, and there are probably a lot more people on devices now trying to, you know, get by on their day, you know, not be bored and stuff. But yeah, I think there are a lot of distractions.
Yeah, I agree. And like, for me, I think as well, I will watch the church service through Facebook, and that's literally got like Facebook up there where I'll receive messages still sort of consistently. And so, yeah, it's definitely a lot more distracting. I 100% agree with that.
But I also think there has been some positive things, kind of like the old saying, you only know what you have when you use it.
Yeah.
I think we've realized, I think this is like church-wide, you know, I don't think it matters what tradition or what country you're in. I think the whole international global church has realized the power of gathered congregational singing. I think we felt the loss of it, like the loss of encouragement, the loss of not being able to be inspired to sing by others. I think often in the modern church, we overemphasize the singing to God, like vertical aspect of worship, and we like underemphasize the singing to each other, because the whole point of singing together is we're not just singing to God, we're singing to each other. You know, we're saying, come, people of the risen King, come, delight, you know. And when we're singing things like that, we're actually singing to each other and our own souls. I think that speaks for a lot of people in that we've realized there's huge power in gathering to sing. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, because, you know, if God commands us to do something, it's normally because there's a really good reason. But, you know, I've really missed that, and I think it's right. How have you guys found it, not being able to sing with the whole church family?
I think it's a bit weird sometimes, because with your family, you may only be you singing, and it takes a while for all of us to sing. But I think it's nice hearing all our voices collectively sing together. But it is helpful having someone sing there on the live stream, knowing that it's live as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've struggled. I don't want to savage anyone in my family, but Esther's really the only one that can sing well. I think my parents would agree with that, and I include myself in that. You know, it's a lot more challenging to, I don't know, focus when there's a lot of out of tune voices. This is just turning really mean now. It's not meaning to, but I think that's the thing that I struggled with more than I thought I would when lockdown started.
But I think if I had to give an encouragement to people, it would be that you really do need to come to worship in prayer with almost like a steely determination. I am determined to keep my focus on God. And I'm determined to gaze at the face of God through Jesus Christ. I'm determined to not let any other thing distract me, because there's nothing else more important. And I think without that determination, you're going to fall. None of us can, especially in our generation, I think, you know, none of us can really fight that temptation to disengage without God's help. So it's worth, you know, being aware of it, and bringing that steely determination to time with him.
This next segment is called the Playlist Extravaganza segment, which is where we ask our guest, Dan, to add one worship song to our playlist. So, Dan, do you have a song that you'd like to add?
I do indeed. So the song I'd like to add is called Give Me Jesus. And the specific version is a Bethel studio version from their Tithes album, but Give Me Jesus. And so it's a beautiful song. It's actually an adaptation of a black spiritual. And I don't know if our viewership knows what they are, but black spirituals are basically songs born out of slaves, West African slaves working on plantations in the southern United States. And it's really heartbreaking, you know. They would sing these field hollers when they were working on the land, like stuff like with lyrics like, I want to go home, there's no rain to wet you, I want to go home. It's really heartbreaking environment, and you really see the fallenness of humanity and the depths we can go to harm each other. But, you know, as we know, we worship a God who turns evil things into good things. It's like that's like his speciality. Just look at the cross. Many of these slaves started to hear the gospel as they were in the United States, which is a heavily Christian country. And these like field hollers and almost like proto blues songs eventually became hymns. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that's why they're called spiritual. So they sang these spiritual songs on the field together. And yeah, so it comes from that. And I think we know we've had a lot of protest with Black Lives Matter. And I think many people can struggle. I think we've seen many people struggle to really throw themselves fully into kind of that movement, maybe like, you know, going to a protest. And maybe that's something to do with the links BLM might have, be it, you know, anti-capitalism or links of transgenderism or links of defunding the police. I think, you know, people are wary of links. But I think we can all agree that Black art and Black song haven't been represented enough, and that there's just so much beautiful, beautiful art and song and hymnody in Black African-American culture. That's one of the songs I wanted to pick out, Give Me Jesus. The lyrics are, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Give me the one my soul delights in. Give me the one in whom my hope is securely found. And, you know, I think if we imagine ourselves working on the plantations saying, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, give me Jesus, might be an easier song to sing. But, we're all called to, even in our Western, middle class, suburban, privileged lifestyles, to say, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. So, beautiful song. Listen to it.
Thank you. I didn't know that history, but that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. We would love to be able to pray for you this week as well, Dan.
Please.
So how can we do that?
How can you pray for me? I'm going to get so much extra prayer this week off this. I would love for it to kind of prioritize my son, Reuben. I think as a parent, you make these little micro decisions throughout the day. And I just want to be making micro decisions that are selfless and not selfish. You know, micro decisions that put him first and put Becky first and put my family first and primarily put God first rather than myself. So I'd really appreciate prayer for that. And then if I can add a second prayer.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Get all the prayer. I'm going to make them. My second prayer would be, pray for me as I prepare to start my teaching job. So I'll be teaching at Long Hill High School in Brighton. It serves like a really deprived, poor area of pupils. And yeah, prayer that I just be a light, that God would sustain me in what can be a quite a difficult workload. And then, yeah, I'd be able to be a light to not only students, you know, be like Jesus to them, but also a light to my colleagues, and be able to show them what it is to follow Jesus.
Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for Dan. I pray that you help him in his journey and amazing opportunity that he has to be a father to his son. I pray that you help him prioritize his son's micro decision. I pray that, yeah, you just help him guide his son and show him who you are. I pray that you help him put you first as well. I pray that even though lockdown may be hard and it may be hard to prioritize you and focus on you, I pray that that'll be easy for Dan. I pray that you will be able to do that. And I pray that you'll help him in his new teaching job at Long Hill High. Yeah, I pray that you just be a blessing to everyone there. Pray that people may see him as the light he is. Pray that you'll be able to shine and they'll see what it means to follow you. And yeah, he may be able to bring some people to know who you are and experience your life. Amen.
Amen.
That's all the time we have for today's podcast. This has been HRBC Encounter Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Dan, for chatting with us.
A pleasure.
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR. We post a new podcast every week on Wednesdays, so look out for that.
Thank you so much, guys, for listening, and see you next Wednesday. Bye. Bye.
Bye.